of page Tetzai, the last line of the month, page 16a. So, since we're not also familiar with the blowing of the chopper, let me explain that there are verses in the Chumash concerning blowing the chopper, which are found by Rosh Hashanah, but they're also found in relationship to blowing the chopper, which existed in the desert and afterwards in the Hamikdash, when you assemble the people, when you have to alarm the people because of war. So it uses the phrases Tekiu and Teruah. You also find it by the Jubilee year, where you also have to use the shofar. So without now going into the detail of all the sources, which are brought in other places in the menorah, first, get you an understanding, I'll tell you what is the final custom in all synagogues all over the world. You should know two basic sounds mentioned in the Chumash are Tekiah and Teruah. Now, Tekiah is like this. Although there are some others who will do it like a bit differently. But the essence of it is one long sound. And that is actually, it's the all-clear sound. The all-clear sound, which is used universally today, comes from this Tekiah mentioned frequently in the Tanakh, in the Bible. Then the other sound, which is mentioned in the Tanakh frequently, is a broken sound. Tekiah means a straight, strong sound, all-clear. The broken sound, which is a sound for alarm, and for also for deep sorrow and trouble. Now this, there are various traditions how to sound it. There's all, even in ancient times, in the times of the Gemara, it wasn't so clear what the Teruah really meant. Some say the Teruah is a broken sound like this. Yep, that's one way. Otherwise, it is a note that goes all the way through, but up and down, like alarms. Yeah, up and down, in various ways. Some do it, longer. Well, there's another way they do it. So there are ways, but generally speaking, it's the Teruah is understood to be a continuous up and down or loud and silent sound, staccato. But there's another tradition. No, it's a broken sound, similar to the one I did last night. That is termed shavorim. Now shavorim is not really mentioned in the Tanakh as one of the shofar sounds, but shavorim is a variation of the Teruah. The Teruah is more a sighing, and the shavorim is a sobbing. Sighing, and a sobbing is... So that's the shavorim. That's the shavorim. So the shavorim is really a sophic. What is Teruah? Is Teruah up and down, or is the Teruah broken sound? Now, because of all these doubts, and in addition to the fact that if you take together the psukim as we know them from the written text and oral tradition, that you have to sound each sound, each set of sounds three times. So therefore we have, as a result, we have nine permutations for each blowing of the shofar. Since the shofar's body includes tekiah and teruah, and we also learn out it's tekiah, teruah, tekiah. Therefore, it's either teruah, tekiah, teruah, or it's Teruah, Shavorim, it's Tekiah, Shavorim, Teruah, the broken sound. Or, since we're not sure, perhaps it should be both. So then we do the sighing and the sobbing. Then we have Tekiah, and then we have Shavorim, Teruah, broken sound and the staccato sound, and then the Tekiah. So therefore we have nine permutations of how to read. Since each one you've got to hear three times, therefore we have a total of the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, you have to say 30 sounds. That's what it turns out. Because it sounds differently. Then there's another din that an extra din that you should sound them both. The mitzvah of the Torah sounds 30. So the 30 sounds, they should be said to start with in the middle of the main Musaf service. That is the main mitzvah of the Torah. But the custom has arisen, because the Chachomim wanted to ensure everybody would hear it correctly. Then the Chachom, the sage, added, you have got to hear 30 sounds in the Amidah. And then you've got to hear 30 sounds before the Amidah also. Before the Amidah, you can really sit down. Because you have, the Amidah means you've got to stand up. We learn how you should stand up when you hear the blowing of the shofar. Therefore, the mitzvah of the Torah is to hear it standing up during the Amidah. And that's our custom today as well, all the synagogues. Done during the, our custom, general custom, they do it in the Chazarat HaShatz. Some would do, there's some custom they do it in the silent shatz. But still, the custom, that is the mitzvah of the Torah. The mitzvah of the Chachomim, they added to do 30 sounds before. And as well, because not always can everybody can hear everything. Anyway, they decided, let's make sure that everybody gets the message of the shofar in a strong manner. And we'll see soon why the sages introduced it twice. But the custom has arisen that we do another 30 sounds at the end, after all the tefillah. That's mainly in case somebody missed out some of the sounds, but you should hear them all. Also, there's another aspect. In fact, the 3 times 30, add another 10 at the end to make up to 100. And that's because we learn out from, it's really learned out from Yael Asia, the way in which, when there was a battle at the time of the judges, so the wife of the enemy, the Jewish people, she, because of the loss they had achieved, she sobbed, 70 sobs. So it's 100 sobs, 100 sobs. Also, there's an idea that 100 makes things more complete. And so the purpose of the shofar is due to Shuva, which Rav Sadia Gaon gives 10 reasons for shofar, which I can't go into now, but you'll read them in many of the Machzorim, it gives you the 10 reasons. And of course there's certainly the Rambam's message is the whole concept, it says, although the sounding of the shofar is a mitzvah of the Torah, and we know that it reminds us specifically of the giving of the Torah, which is accompanied by the sound of the shofar, but it's also intended to awaken us to our true destiny and our true inner voice of the conscience, especially the conscience of the Jewish people. It's very interesting, just as an aside, one of the most effective books in America, written by one of the top, in fact, novel writers. He was originally, then he did Teshuva, he became a religious man. He wrote a book, This Is My God. Any Americans ever saw it, by Herman Hook. So he produces the book by saying, so many Jews who don't come to synagogue, some don't even come on Yom Kippur, but they'll come to listen to the shofar. And how is that? How do you explain that situation? So he says, because the sound of the shofar, which is mentioned in the Tanakh also, is that which arouses the Jew and ultimately also arouses the nations of the world to the true voice of Hashem, which exists deep down in the heart of every person. And meanwhile, at least of every Jew. It may be more subconscious. Puts it forward as in Jungian terms, used as a subconscious archetype. Now, on the basis of this, you now understand what it says here in the last line of this page. So who wants to read? Rabbi Yitzchok. The second line from the bottom, Rabbi Yitzchok. Yeah, you read simply. Omer Rabbi Yitzchok.
Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Lama Tokim Rosh Hashanah. You know, it's to say, why do we sound Rosh Hashanah, the show? Lama Tokim Rahmana.
No. Lama Tokim, with a question mark?
Why do we sound?
Why do we blow?
The
Rachmana
said so.
Hashem said, Tiku, you have to blow. You fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. Second question, Ella.
Ella, rather.
My question is, Lama?
Lama Marin. In other words, why do we sound it true on Rosh Hashanah? Marin, Rachmana.
Again, Lama Marin, question mark?
Yep.
Melin, exclamation. Do you understand? Yeah, exclamation. Why do you ask such a question?
It says in the Torah.
Rachamana Amar, on the Shoshana, it should be Zichron Teruah.
Remembrance.
Yeah. Because that concept, this Teruah, brings you to memory, to wake up, to inner memories of the duty, the inner challenge to live up to saintliness. And perhaps reminds you also of the Torah. But it says written in the Pasuk. So that's not my question.
Lama tokim u'mekinim. Rather, why do we sound a tekiah in a
Shur? And teruah, kushein yoshvim, when people sit down. And then again, over the page.
The tokim u'mekinim
kushein omdim. Yeah. And then we blow again, Tekiah Teruah, Mitzekiah Teruah Tekiah, three times. Kushein on Dim. When everybody stands up. Now, what does this mean? What means sitting and standing? What's it mean? Well, what's it mean sitting and standing? When do we listen to Shofar sitting?
We don't.
At the time of the Gemara, the time of Rabbi Yitzchok, they used to sit down.
Outside of the Amidah.
Huh?
Outside of the Amidah.
So the main reading of the main listening to the Shofar is in the Amidah when you have to stand up. But the custom was, and it still is today, that you also go through all the notes, all the permutations. You go through them before the Amida, where there's no obligation to stand, where you can also sit down. So why do we do? But why do we do them twice? So we do it today.
Today, Barbed.
Order to confuse
the
Satan. Okay, now let's try. What's all this about? How does Satan come into this? This service of Rosh Hashanah. Who is Satan, first of all?
Angel of death.
Huh?
Angel of death.
What does Satan mean?
Actually, it means to turn off the way. To turn, like you're going straight down the road, and he turns you off the way.
The accuser. Prosecutor.
Any other explanation to the Satan?
Rabbi Yaakov just told us he's a three-headed monster. He's a three-headed monster because he's the accuser and the angel of death, and the other one was, what was that the other one?
Prosecutor.
That was accuser, prosecutor, same thing, angel of death, and...
Now let's put it this way. You find in the Chumash, where do you find the word Satan in the Chumash?
By Bilam.
That's right. Yeah.
Pardon. The Bilam on what?
On the way.
The Malach came.
On the way.
And the Satan way. Satan is an obstacle. I mean, the simple explanation, obstacle. And what does this teach us? If you go to it more deeply. Because Satan is used in the book of Eov in a different sense. In which sense is used at the beginning of the book of Eov? And if you know, book of Eov? Job? What's Eov mean? Job, Eov in Hebrew is a transposition of Oyev, enemy. Is Hashem the enemy of man? That's the big question of Eov. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In many ways, we experience such acts of Hashem that make us think Hashem is the enemy of man. And that's the whole Sefer deals with that question. So, the truth is, Hashem does not make life easy for human beings. It's not on a smooth path. Life is not intended to be smooth sailing. Life is eternal. We term it in English an obstacle race. Life is an adventure. Life is not a place where you go to sleep. And that's one of the main teachings of Tanakh, of the Bible. Is to teach us the human beings were not created just to follow their instincts through a small passage of material existence. And just to get lost and to get drunk and intoxicated with the pleasure that Hashem gives us. No, life is an obstacle race. Because that's how you grow. A person grows through obstacles, through overcoming difficulties. That's the basic concept of Sotom. So the sages say, if you really want to understand it, that the Sotom expresses himself in three ways. He's the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, and death is difficult for everybody who loves life, so it's one of the difficulties of life, is that there's such a thing as death, and the death instinct has a power over man. It's got to overpower the death instinct. We see that there is a deep death. I mean, if you want to use a contemporary psychological language, it's called what's called Eros. Is the life instinct and the death instinct, which has a big power upon the human being. You have to overcome it. The death instinct makes people depressed and can ruin them. And the life instinct can be used for good, to overcome the death instinct. The death instinct is also that which makes many people think, in any case we're going to die, what difference does it make what we do? And it paralyzes frequently people who have the potential to produce a lot of good, but they don't bother. It's in any case, life is carpe diem. Let's just enjoy life now, what we've got, because nuchal v'nishtek imachal namut. Let's just eat and drink, because tomorrow an ink is going to die. That's the malach hamavet. But the sultan is also said, is also the Sahara, the evil inclination within man. In addition, the Sotan is the power of evil in the world, not only Malach HaMavet, as is described in the book of Eov. So there are evil things that happen, and we have the challenge to overcome them. So the Sotan, these are three things that the Kitrug of the Sotan, which we talk about, is the accusations we get because the Satan entices us to go and do evil. But that's the power of the Yetzirah. Psychologically speaking, it's the Yetzirah, it's the evil inclination. And the evil inclination is given to man, so he should overcome it, and thereby not eat the bread of shame. That's what it's put in the Midrash of the Zohar. Because we should know we're not in this world just to have pleasure, we're in this world to go and develop our saintliness. We're given a divine soul which should overcome the material self and not suppress it and destroy it, but use it in the service of Hashem. So therefore the sages say, Hu amalach hamavet, hu asatan, hu ha yetzer hara. They're all different aspects of the same power of evil. And the power of evil is given to us to overcome the obstacles of evil. So that's the Sofer. So tell me, how does God become confused when he sees the people of Israel listening to the Shofar, not only when they're standing, also when they're sitting? How does he do it? How does he become confused? He becomes weakened. But the Rosh Hashanah, we have to weaken the power of the Yetzirah. What does the Rashi say? The first thing is, look at the Rashi. Right. Who can read the Rashi? Kadeh la'arvi, to confuse the Sofer. Shelo yastin, that he will not bring accusations. Why won't he bring accusations? Can someone read the Rashi?
Okay. Shelo yastin, kesheshema yisrael.
I think you should all read it together. Read it together.
Shelo yastin.
That he should not come
and accuse
with his accusations on Rosh Hashanah and say the people don't deserve. Well, Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decides what's going to happen to every individual and also the whole people of Israel. Because Yishma, when the Satan hears, she saw Mechab Misa Mitzvot, that the people of Israel love Mitzvot. Mitzatmim, what's that mean?
Confused.
The Varav. His words are silenced. His words of accusation are silenced because the people of Israel love the mitzvah. How did, first of all, how does it show the people love the mitzvah?
Going over and above the letter of the law.
Yeah. If you do something out of love, you'll do it even if you're not commanded to do it. How do you know if children love their parents? If they'll help their parents even when they don't ask them to do anything. Yeah. If you've got a good friend, how do you know he really likes you? If he'll do something good for you, he never asked you. That's a sign of love. But if you only do things when you're asked and told to do them, what does it demonstrate?
Reluctance.
That you have respect or awe or fear in front of him, following orders. So, it says frequently in the current parshas of Devarim, you've got to learn to fear Hashem and to love Him. What's the difference? How do you show fear and awe in front of Hashem?
By
fulfilling His commandments. And how do you show the love of Hashem? By what?
More.
What's it mean? Love. That you're willing to do more, like you said. Willing to do it even if you're not commanded. You do things out of the love of Hashem. Yeah? A person who does things out of fear and duty, often it just does the minimum. Whatever I'm asked to do, I'll do. I'm not going to do it anymore. But a person who really loves Hashem, he will do things to serve Hashem even beyond the letter of the law. Like you said. Like Avraham Avinu, if I even say that's different than Avraham Avinu, Noach. Noah did exactly what Hashem asked him to do. He was given the Noah had code, he followed it. So why isn't he one of our forefathers?
Maybe he didn't help others. He was not able to help the others.
Avraham Avinu, the Sad Midrash brings it, and Rambam develops it as part of the mitzvah, he became a lover of Hashem because he wanted to spread through the whole world. Hashem is king of the world. He knew quite well, says, Noah is referred to as the one who went with God. He didn't go against God, he followed whatever God wanted. Avraham Avinu said, I want to walk in front of Hashem. I want to declare His glory to the whole world. So therefore, that's we have to Hashem Rokecha. They say, you've got to love Hashem, how do you do it? Sheshem Shammai mit Ahiv al Yodacha. If a person says, I'm going to look after myself, I don't care what happens to other people, and I daven to Hashem, and I go and pray for Him, pray to Hashem, I feel close to Him, but I'm not bothered that the other people who deny Hashem's existence and who don't follow Him, not my affair. So he doesn't show his love of Hashem. Love of Hashem you show by being willing to spread the word of Hashem in the whole world. That's the purpose of the people of Israel. got to learn to love Hashem. So similarly also, on Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiyat Shofar, if we follow the command of Hashem to blow and listen to the Shofar, fine. We fulfilled our duty. Yirat Hashem. But if we go further, it demonstrates Avat Hashem. Now, I'm going to add to this, and by the way, this explanation of Rashi, that's how it's described by one of the greatest minds a few generations ago, Rabbi Kiv Eger, who said, to understand this Rashi more deeply, we have to go to a statement made a few times in the Gemara concerning the forgiveness of sins. You know, the person did teshuvah, and it's very important now, the teshuvah period. He did teshuvah, then what happened? Teshuvah is Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, ki chashalta bavonecha. If he did teshuvah for intentional sins, and really did teshuvah, because it's commanded teshuvah, but go through the procedure of confession and regret and so on, and a resolution to change, then your intentional sins are then considered like unintentional. Michshol is doing something by mistake. It was a mistake. I never kept Shabbos. I decided to come back to Shuvah, because it says in the Ten Commandments, it says in Chumash, you've got to keep Shabbos. So now I'm going to keep Shabbos, because Hashem wants me to do it. That's how I become a good Jew. So Hashem says, okay, previously you desecrated the Shabbos intentionally. You knew it exists, but you didn't bother about it. Now we're starting to keep it. So Hashem says, okay, all your desecration of Shabbos you did before is now considered like a mistake. Do you mind it's a mistake? So you've done teshuvah out of Yira. And therefore, teshuvah out of Yira, what happens is that your intentional sins are now considered unintentional. But there's another phrase further in the Shea who says that Kuchuy Mechem Devarem Veshuvu El Hashem. It's the next pasuk in the summons of Moshe to do teshuvah. He says, I want you to take things and then use the phrase Vuahavem, and you're going to love Hashem by the teshuvah, being inspired by love. Teshuvah me'ava, if your teshuvah is not just to fulfill your duty and regret you didn't do so in the past, but because before you did intentional sins, now you're going to use all that energy you've intentional sins to spread the word of Hashem. I'll give you an example. Someone who's done teshuvah out of Ava, and he Mamash demonstrated it. Urizar was previously, he describes his story. He was one of the main cynical comedians. He was the star of the television and others, to go and ridicule Yiddishkeit. He became a Baal Teshuvah and decided to dedicate himself to learning Torah and then to spreading Torah. He's an activist with all his energies to bring as many people back to Teshuvah. So therefore, that's the sign of Ava. If you all, I'm not only going to now keep the Shabbos and learn and so on. No, I've got to spread the word of Hashem amongst all Jewish people. He's one of the main people who try to get irreligious youth and youth who are put off by many things, Yiddishkeit, and make sure they go to yeshivas, and he's writing in that way. That's an example in our times of someone who's willing to tshuva me'ava. If you do tshuva me'ava, it says in the pasuk, the sins you did before, they now become merits, like mitzvot. Yeah? But why do they become like mitzvot? Because the fact that before he did something wrong acts now as an extra stimulus to go in the opposite direction and spread Torah, and spread the word of Hashem, make more people believe in Hashem, follow his mitzvahs. That's teshuvah me'ava. And what happens then? Then the averus you did before are considered like mitzvahs, because the avera itself becomes the spring from which you use all your energy to do good. So this is the way of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the big iconoclast who was reared in idolatry, and he pulled down the idols of his father and manufactured them. So he turned the tide and became the great lover of Hashem, and whatever negative things he'd done before become now a means whereby he turns it back to good things. So it's like this. So I'll tell you something. This is a statement made by Rish Lakish, or the reason why Rish Lakish wanted to make such a statement, who says that if you do tshuva out of love, even the averus you did before, they not just become like mistakes, shoykeh, they become like mitzvahs. So Satan is the one who finds fault with the people of Israel. The divine spiritual power that tries to find fault. And it's also the Yetzara, the evil inclination, which works inside the human being, which brings him to do sins. But if a person, after his sin, he does tshuva out of love, so therefore even if you mention the sins, they'll be treated as mitzvahs. So there's a famous saying, also the sages, says, on Sukkot, Sukkot is what time? What man is it? Man?
Sukkotim,
the time of great joy. Yamim Noraim is the time of Yira. Noraim, the awesome period. Roshonim Kippur are called the days of awe. Yeah, Yamim Noraim. And the atmosphere of Roshonim Kippur is one of serving Hashem with awe and with fear, with spiritual fear, spiritual respect. Sukkot is the time of rejoicing. So the reckoning for each person we know, according to three books we've discussed, is sealed when? On Yom Kippur. Yeah? So on Yom Kippur, each one of the fates is sealed by Hashem. Whether when the book of the righteous, we will hope Hashem will forgive us for all our sins. Amen. We've done tshuva out of Yira, so therefore we're all put in the book of the righteous. But what type of tshuva did we do? Tshuva miyira. So therefore we did intentional sins, so we remain with certain record, which is not all that good. We still made a lot of mistakes. Tshuva miyira. Then follows the Zman Simchateinu. So that it says in the Chumash, how do you express your joy on Sukkot? Lachem lachem bayom arishon. On the first day, you should take, what do you take? What are we going to take on the first day of Sukkot? The four species. And with those four species, Osmachtem et Bnei Hashem Elokichem, Tshivas Yomim. You take them on the first day, and then you rejoice if you're in Yerushalayim in front of Hashem for 7 days. It's a mikdash, really. But still, it's a man simcha. So the simcha is expressed through rejoicing in the beautiful fruits, the different species that surround us. So the sages say, why does that say, lekachtem bayom arishon min? Rishon lecheshbon avonot. That's the first day when Hashem, in his divine account of Yitrachut or Yitrachov, whether we've got any further mitzvot on our record, or whether we unfortunately still got a lot of sins on our record, it's the first day when Hashem starts the new record for the new year. Why are you in the first? Why Yom HaRishon, the first day of Sukkot? The usual explanation is like this: Yom Kippur, you've got a clean sheet, no more sins. Hashem forgives everything. Some people think, you know, when you hear the last blast of the shofar on the end of Yom Kippur, so then in some synagogues you hear people, they go out straight away, and then they ask the question, why in the Amidah afterwards, when we say, Salach lanu vinu kichatanu, haven't had a chance to sin. Only 20 minutes ago, all our sins went away. But unfortunately, we soon fall back. Yeah? We soon fall. So they say, no, a Jew who keeps the Torah got no time to sin. Which in Yom Kippur and Sukkot, where you've got to make sure you've got a kosher sukkah, got to get the, make sure you've got the four species, got to prepare for Yom Tov, there's no time for sinning. And therefore, there's no new record yet made. Because it's all, you've been a complete Torah observing Jew from the moment Yom Kippur ended. And that's if you're a really traditional Jew. I mean, my shul, some people used to, when soon as the shofar is blown before Maariv, you know, unfortunately some people would just forget about Maariv. You know, they wouldn't be in the shul anymore. But still, the majority of Jews have had a good education. They stay on for Maariv, and then they've got a mitzvah to fulfill for Yom, no time to sin. When do you have time to sin? When you come first day of Sukkot. And now you can relax, you've got your sukkah, you've got your four species, and people start come to shul and discuss the latest Lashon Hara about the community. Rishon L'Cheshbon Havanot is the first day when Hashem starts a new record. That's one explanation. But there's another explanation. Rishon L'Cheshbon Havanot, sukkahs, is the opposite. It's a beautiful explanation by the teacher, but I've got many mentions, it's already earlier. It's got to do with this Rashi. As follows. The first day of Sukkot is the first day of Teshuvah Me'ava. That's why we have Hashanah Rabbah. Teshuvah Me'ava is a high level, Tshuv Me'ira. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Tshuv Me'ira, fine. You've made good goods and you can start the new year with a clean record. But still, it's not on the highest level. You won't have Tshuvah to make everything previous, which is wrong, a mistake. My last year was mistaken, this year I'm not going to make mistakes. So therefore, you've still got a new record. You've done Teshuvah, Teshuvah Me'ava. To say, you must do Teshuvah Me'ava. Teshuvah Me'ava starts when you rejoice on Sukkot with all the mitzvahs that around you. And then you feel love for Hashem. You say, now I'm going to express my love and I'm going to spread it in all directions. That's the idea. Well, whatever blessing Hashem has given to me, I'm going to use them to spread that blessing to everybody else. That's why it says, when you come to the Sukkot, make sure that you've got in mind the stranger, you've got in mind the poor people, and the widows. You've got the samachta v'simachta. So when you go with Tshuva Me'ava, then Hashem makes a record from the previous year. Rosh Hashanah makes a record from the previous year, and Yom Kippur is sealed, but that's the Cheshbon Avonot on Tshuva Me'ira. Comes to Sukkot, he makes a new Cheshbon. Oh, now you're starting to show the love of Hashem. The love of Hashem changes all your previous sins and mistakes into mitzvahs. And that's what starts then. So now, as long as Am Yisrael still do mistakes, so the Satan can come in, there's still some evil left. But once you chew me over, the Satan can't get in at all. Because whatever mistakes you made in the past become mitzvahs. So also, that's what it says here. How do you show chew me over? If you love the mitzvah, there's a person who loves mitzvahs, the person does his duty. Doing the duty, that's me'ira. But to love to do it, to love the mitzvah, that's already tshuva. Because what's shofar? Shofar represents the power of teshuva, to arouse the hidden power of the soul in man and the people of Israel to come back to Hashem, to him. When Am Yisrael show that we love the mitzvah so much, we don't just want to hear the sounds of the shofar once. We like to hear them even three times, twice, and the times of more than twice, in our time even three times. So you show you love the mitzvah. Once you love the mitzvah, the Yetzer Hara has got to be quiet. It's time to devote. So you've got any comments on this deeper explanation of Rashi? Rabbi Akiva Eger. Any comments? So now, have any of you prepared the second Tosfos?
I have a quick question.
Yeah?
Is it possible to kill the evil side? Is it possible to kill it completely? Like King David and some of the Hasidish rabbis claim to have done? And is it right to work in that direction, to clear all the...
First of all, yeah. I doubt that there's any Hasidic Rebbe who's ever claimed that. Maybe it's the Hasidim claim. But if the Rebbe makes such a claim, makes it public, then I'll tell you a Hasidic word of the Kotzke Rebbe. I love the Rosh, who knows the Rosh more than the Tzaddik who thinks he's a Tzaddik. It can't be a true Hasidic Rebbe who prides himself on the fact he's killed the Yetzirah.
Talking about the founder of Breslov.
Well,
that's what they
won't go to that. I think it's a false statement.
Okay.
Whoever, Breslov, there's no evidence that that's exactly what he meant, but I was close to real people who really know, because to kill the Yetzirah, if anybody thinks he can do it, then, and he says so, then... Then he's guilty of what the Kotzke Rebbe says. How can I? Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you mean? What's going on here? David HaMelech is another story, right? There's a Mashiach, David HaMelech. For the Rebbe to say that should not be spread anywhere. Pride is the worst sin. And there's no person who says, I'm a big tzaddik, that's just guilty instead of. But it's reported by Chazal, not Obed HaMelech, that's another matter. So, and certainly, none of us should ever dream that we can kill the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is always one. But sometimes there's situations with the Yetzirah's got to keep silent when it doesn't. When a person, he does tshuva out of love, then he fulfills means you can love Hashem with your Yetzirah. I mean, through the Yetzirah to become subject to the Yetzirah to you. And that you can do through the power of love. Then the Yetzirah becomes quiet. That means, if you want to battle with the Yetzirah, one of the best ways to do that, says to Bali Tshuva, it's very important, this method, that you've got to introduce people not to be filled with a constant fear of the power of the Yetzirah, but rather give them enough inspiration to love the mitzvahs, to have a love of learning Torah, get them to love learning Torah, get them to learn those areas of Torah that they love, and get them also motivated, they should love every bit of learning, see what depth lies in every part of the Torah. So now to understand this better, has anybody prepared the second Tosfos? But also, Kedei La'aviv HaSatan, there's another aspect to this, brought by Tosfos. So, does anyone attempt to read it? Can you read it? Kedei La'aviv HaSatan. Pirush Ba'oruch.
Please read it slowly if you're going to read it.
Yeah, Pirush Ba'oruch. I'll be with you. You should read it together. Read it together.
Yeah, I'm saying some people read in a fast pace.
Peirush Ba'oruch. What is the Oruch? I'm going to ask. Anyone knows who the Oruch is? Oruch is what? It's a Sefer. So what is the Sefer Oruch?
Baruch Lanei.
No. I'm quoted in Tosfos. He lived just...
No defeat.
Oruch is one of the early... Quoted by Tosfos, but we've shown. The Oruch is the earliest Talmudical dictionary. It's written by it's a great Italian scholar, Oro. So he explains difficult terminology in the Gemara. And of course, what does it mean to confuse the Sotan? So he proves that, he says the basis is Kedit B'Yerushalmi. What's the Yerushalmi?
Rabbi Yochanan compiled the Yerushalmish Talmud.
There's a Talmud Bavli, which we're studying, and the parallel Talmud, which was developed by the scholars of Eretz Yisroel. What does it say there? It says, Bila Hamoves Lo Netzach. It says in the Pasuk, where the prophets say, what's Bila Hamoves Lo Netzach? Death will be swallowed up in eternity, which is a reference to the way in the power of death will no longer exist in the future eternal world. And another verse says, Well. On that day, which day?
Which day?
The day of the redemption. There will be blown with a big shofar. There'll be a big shofar blown on that day. Where did we refer to this shofar in the daily prayer? What did we say? Whom are we talking to? We say to Hashem, Hashem, you should blow this big shofar for our freedom. To bring our freedom, and the sign of our freedom will be when the big shofar will be blown. So, from here we can find out a bit the deepest significance of the shofar. Others, we hope Hashem will blow the shofar, as he blew the shofar, apparently, when the Torah was given. Others, it's really the voice of Hashem, the message from Hashem. So, now Hamavet, Bila Hamavet Lanetzach, one of the aspects of Satan is the power of death. The power of death. And it said, on that day, big shofar would be. So what happens? So this is put graphically in the following manner, in this Yerushalmi. Kad Shoma, Kad Shipura, when the Satan hears the sound of the shofar once, Zim Nechodo, means one time, Bohel, below Bohel. What's Behala mean? Confusion. Yeah? He will be partly confused, he'll be surprised, but not entirely. He'll still be at work, the power of the Sultan. For Kacho Matinyan, but when he heard Hazel blowing a second time, that means Rosh Hashanah, the Sultan hears the sound of the Shofar of the people of Israel, the 30 sounds, he hears them, so he's a bit weakened by it, because they're fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem, and they're doing teshuvah, mi'ira. But then when he finds it a second time, he says, surely this is the long shofar, this is the big shofar of the redemption. Om avada zeo shipuram, di taka b'shofar gadol, this is the time when the big shofar will be blown. Omote zimne, and the time has come, zimne the time, matter has been reached, lihit bala, bila mavet, to become swallowed up. Death will be swallowed up. Omit avev, and he becomes confused, veletle penai, and he's got no time, he's got to run away, no time, lemevet kategoria, to become a category, an accuser, to accuse the people of Israel. Because when Shia comes, then the power of evil and death will disappear from the world. So, it's like this. This is, you can say, a theological description of what's going to happen, but to understand this, theological, I call it esoteric, Kabbalistic description, and which is mentioned in Yerushalmi on the basis of these verses. There's a shofar stam and shofar gadol. The shofar stam is the one we blow generally, and the shofar gadol is the symbol of freedom of man from subjection to the power of evil, and even the power of death. Whether it's speaking literally, that it means the spiritual death, or it means actual death will disappear. That means, does it already mean Tchiyat HaMeitim, or does it not? As you know, that's the debate. Tchiyat HaMeitim, will it come with the Mashiach, or will it come later period? There's a lot of discussion about this, especially in the process of the Ramban, but also even the Rambam speaks about it. So, it can be taken more in the sense, Bila Mavet HaNetzach, Tchiyat HaMeitim, but it can be taken also on a similar level, that when the Mashiach comes, he's going to remove the power of death. If we take it like today, like the Muslims say they worship death, they don't mind death, the Torah believes in preserving life, and this subjection to death and to evil and to murder will disappear, and human beings will learn to abolish war, to abolish killings, because the Yetzer Hara is on the psychological level. So therefore you can even say, at least that's how I have interpreted, that the Yerushalmi that is brought by the Oroch, because you should know the Tosfos brings the Yerushalmi from the Oroch, it's because a great part of the Yerushalmi is no longer extant. We don't have most of it. Part of it was preserved in manuscripts, a lot of it disappeared, and therefore Tosfos and the other Rishonim, they often bring from other sources that quote the Yerushalmi, like the Oroch. But really, the Yerushalmi is just the other side of how we describe Shelo Yastin. In other words, if we look at it at the concept that Teshuvah Me'ava is also that which will bring the Mashiach. We do Teshuvah Me'ava, it says explicitly in Parsha Nitzavim, the Parsha of Tshuva, it mentions there, if you do Tshuva on the ordinary level, you'll come back to Eretz Yisrael. And there's a description there that even if the curses come upon you, but in the end we will do Teshuva. And that's what's happening today. That describes literally in Parsha Nitzavim, Devarim, these stages. And you'll see then again it says, but if you love Hashem, you'll go on a higher level. So therefore, I think Tosfos is just explaining the Yerushalmi, brings the Yerushalmi, which is a parallel to the deep explanation of what Rashi brings. If you say, the key is, what sages say, Hu Malach HaMavet, the Malach HaMavet can also be interpreted to exist even now as a power in our lives. The fact that we have an awareness, it's called like the Eros or Thanatos. In Greek, it's not, the power of death is Thanatos. Psychologists say that life is really, on the deepest subconscious level, a battle between the love of life and the awareness of death, which when we're young, perhaps we don't even possess, but it's hidden. We know that life is a time span from the cradle to the grave, and nobody knows how long that will be. So this has its effects upon the human being. So it also brings in a person who is not working hard enough on against his Yetzer Hara, that's on the personal, psychological level, that the power of evil and of death and the meaninglessness of life has a subconscious power upon him. Even if he thinks he's worked out an outlook upon life, he's very optimistic, but sometimes they feel, no, is it really worthwhile the effort that I should limit my instinct of pleasure? Comes to everybody in terms of my instinct for getting glorification, or should I feel insulted or not insulted? So this Sanchez says, well, I think it's my duty to go and use my pleasure instinct, my possessive self-centered instinct, against the real inner soul instinct, which tells me I'm put in this world to do good for others, and to give up my sense of self-centeredness and pleasure, give it up for the sake of making my contribution to all mankind and serving Hashem with complete love like Avraham Avinu did. So that's what the Shavuot reminds us of. And we all hope, but it says, Yitaka b'shovak adol, then it says, Uvao ha'ovdim me'eretz Ashur, Vihani do chimeyeret mitzrayim. Look, I'm joining. Vishtachul Hashem barakoydesh. Vishtachul Hashem barakoydesh. Vishtachul Hashem barakoydesh. Yai dai dai dai. Yai dai 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 dai. Yerushalayim, that's what Shalayim represents. So, let's hope we hear the Shofar Gadol.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And now for tomorrow, something else.